Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So just real quick, the money for Tavares. They don't need much this year. I think Jimmy Stewart's right. Future years where you got to pay McAvoy and start managing your young players as they come into money years is going to be the question. This year, they have $12 million in space right now. So they could sign Tavares and just with some tinkering, keep their whole team if they wanted. Which, you know, I don't think they should want. And they, you know, you're going to want room in the course of the year to add or to have some flexibility. So, fine. Something has to move out. David Backes at $6 million? Huh. Yesterday, I'd trade him back to Minnesota for a bag of hockey pucks. I don't mean to be so disrespectful to the player. I you know, good Bruin, and he's been a good NHL player, but I just think games passed him by, and he's just not worth $6 million for three more years. Oh,
I mean, scary.
He's slow right now. Wait till you see him in year three. David Krejci at $7.25, your highest-paid player. He's not worth it anymore. He's not. And I've loved David Krejci, but it's 32 years old, and that arrow is pointed in the wrong direction. So there's $13 million in room. How do you feel about Torey Krug at 5.25?
Too much. See you later.
And yeah, that's another player that I think you could get some value for.
Yeah, to me, those are the three guys. And I include Krug on that list, too, because they're all... you know, look, Krug's a pretty good player, but he's a third-pairing defenseman. He's a specialist.
I think you're leaving a name out there, buddy.
And then I'm forgetting someone.
I think you're missing a name.
Tuukka.
Tuukka Rask, $7 million. Third highest-paid goalie in the NHL. Hasn't been out of the second round in now six seasons. Just, I don't know. He's on my list. Now, we got to talk about who you're bringing in to play goalie, because it's not Hudobin for 60 starts. You know, you obviously got to account for that. And so there's going to be money. You know, you're not just saving a straight seven, because you're going to have to pay the next goalie. So I sort of understand that. But if you get value on, to me, Backes, I'm trading for hockey pucks, honestly, for a fourth-round pick. Just to clear the money, I consider that a win. The rest of them, Krejci, Krug, Rask, you can actually get something back. You can get something back of value. So, I don't know, and I think there'd be a market for those players.
So the only guy I wonder about is Krejci. He just feels to me like, you know, you'd have to eat some money there, I think. And, you know, and Backes too, for that matter. But you know what? I'd even be willing to do that. Let's say you could save... You know, $5 million on Krejci's salary by moving him and $4 million on Backes, that's $9 million. Good enough. Like, just to pay those guys less than what you're paying them now, good enough.
Okay, so, as promised, your phone's on this and our Red Sox stuff and Hanley stuff to start the program. 617-779-0985. Here's Nate in Lincoln. Go ahead, Nate.
Hey, Felger. Big surprise you're out on Rask to be moved right away there. Huge surprise not wanting to keep him for a while. But just JT, I lived in now in New York for a while, and he is just watching him game in and game out. As you said, he's a gamer. He's in there all the time, and playing on a team like that and being in the top 10 in points, top 5, I think he finished second in MVP one time.
It was third twice.
So, I mean, there you go. It's just, you've never had someone like that on the beat who's been that good offensively in at least a while.
And hopefully this is the guy, thanks for the call, that he doesn't get his money and that's it. You know, this is a guy who was drafted number one overall, franchise, you know, elite player who's never really tasted any success, postseason success, you know, never really had a run at it, never mind won the thing, and also never really played in a place where it matters, and I guess, I don't know, we can debate how much the Islanders matter.
They don't. Not like the Rangers, right?
No, of course not.
I mean, so at best, they're second fiddle. Like, you know, I think the Islanders had one year in there where they get into the playoffs and made a little noise, right? I don't even remember if they won the series. But, like, look, I just love that the Bruins are thinking this way. This never even crossed my radar that the Bruins would go out on the free agent market and having, you know, a meeting with a guy who's going to be looking for $11 or $12 million a year.
I'm just trying to say that this is not one of those free agents that's scary. He's 27. He'll be 28 when the year starts. So it's not like he's on the back nine yet. He's in his prime. Never tasted true success. He is a gamer. Do you want the games played, Maz?
Sure.
82, 79, 82, 48 in the 48-game season. That was a strike year, so he played every game. Don't be deceived by that 48. That's a good number. Next year, 59, 82, 78, 77, 82. There's only 1 year where he's missed time. Basically, he's played, and I saw, you know, there was a year he had 77 games, so I don't, maybe there was an injury there, but it feels like if you're above, you know, if you're missing two or three games,
who knows? So what?
Right, exactly. He's basically played every night, with the exception of 1 year.
22 points in 24 career playoff games.
So there's that, too. Very good.
And I like the size. I mean, again, to me, he feels, you know, I just watching it, watching some of the highlights of him and stuff, he's a sturdy guy, man. He's strong. So, like, I love it. I told you. I'm just thrilled they're even thinking this way. I'd love to see him close the deal.
Devin in Andover. Hi, Devin.
Yeah. Hi, Michael. Yeah, I called about something else, but just quickly, Tavares. Sounds like a good deal. What you're saying is good.
Thank you.
But with, I was calling about you talking about Hanley Ramirez and his quote-unquote associate.
Right.
I'm no big Ramirez fan, but who are you going to fire on the Patriots because they hung around with Aaron Hernandez?
Right, but I'm just saying, Devin, and look, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the law is. But at some point, is a team allowed to disassociate themselves from you if the crowd you're hanging with is detrimental to them? I mean, so...
It's a good question, but I just don't. I just think it opens them up.
At, you know, at what point, if Hanley Ramirez, and he was, I mean, this feels like the fact that he was associating with known drug dealers. I mean, this guy that got popped was a convicted drug dealer who is still in Hanley's inner circle to the point where they're FaceTiming. And again, that's just sort of like an unscientific thing, but I think that, I mean, I don't know anyone who FaceTimes just casually, like picking up the phone. Who is it? Oh, they're FaceTiming. I don't know. Let's just see. Like, no,
oh,
no.
Random friend I met once. Oh, hey, good to talk to you. Like, there is a level of intimacy that goes on with
FaceTime. I did it with Ty Anderson today to talk hockey with him.
How awkward was it?
I was fine with it. He didn't seem offended by it.
No, that
I FaceTime
awkward.
All the time.
I find it so intrusive.
Oh, awkward. Ooh. Ooh, you and Ty Anderson FaceTiming just chatting hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Because I get to see how people react to questions.
Just text.
I only FaceTime with my kids. That's it.
Exactly.
Nobody else.
Wife.
Yeah, otherwise, text me or call. I'm done with you.
But either way, they're close enough where that's the first. He calls him from the side of the road during the drug bust.
And he picked
and
up.
And he picks up. He picks up the FaceTime. Do you pick up FaceTime randos, Stu?
Not randos.
No, okay.
But if it's like Zolak, I'll think about it. It's like somebody I know, yes.
303 area code pops up. You just, hey, how you doing?
I don't know. So look, here's the deal. If Hanley's hanging with known drug dealers and known convicted felons, are the Red Sox allowed to say, your associations scare us, we don't want to be associated with you? What's the law on that? And, I mean, whatever the law is, I'm with the team. Like, it's a public entity, and it's we're in the there's something of a public trust with our company, and so we just can't have our players cavorting with known criminals.
I mean, a different sport, but the Eagles essentially did this with DeSean Jackson. Remember, like, with the crew that he was hanging around
but
with?
But they traded him, right?
Yeah. But, so again, I mean, what was the reason that they traded him? They can say, oh,
okay,
well.
But this is my point, though. You can always give your problem to someone else. Like, those guys get traded all the time.
You can't trade Hanley. His contract's untradeable. You know, he's untradeable. The whole thing's untradeable.
I mean, I suppose they could have said, we'll eat all the money and trade him. Right? That, like, you could always do that.
Well, they've essentially done that because now anyone can pick him up for free and no one's doing it.
So there you go. But in terms of, like, disciplining him or releasing him for those reasons, I don't think he can. Not publicly. I mean, you can do it, but I think that you open... What do you mean? Like, since when is it illegal to have bad friends?
Okay, so if he wasn't the money guy behind the drug... Well, but bad friends is bad friends. Criminals? Known felons? Drug dealers?
Listen, I told you, it's a good question. I think at some point you're rendered powerless. What are you going to do? Like, if he doesn't break any laws, how do you discipline him? Or break any rule? How do you discipline him?
So, I don't care if he wasn't the money guy behind the fentanyl. He wasn't responsible for the fentanyl. He just picked up the phone. Guy's shady. Shady, shady, shady.
You know what I do love is that every time someone calls and presents a scenario, that Murray's the guy in the car driving.
Of course. the tattoos and the medical
care. That guy who called earlier. Stu, yes. Don't pick up the FaceTime from Murray. That's just a little safety.
I'm there for my friends.
Back to your phones after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
As we are doing this right now, I think it is Toronto, San Jose, Dallas, and two of Boston, Chicago, and Tampa. That's my guess.
It's interesting because Boston was in on Ilya Kovalchuk, and it seems as if now they may turn attention back to Rick Nash to try to bring him into the mix. But if you have someone like John Tavares available.
I have to tell you, I got a text tonight saying that there's word that Rick Nash is considering retirement.
That's Elliot Friedman, the guy who got the text there. Sportsnet up in Canada. Big information guy up there. Rick Nash retiring. Again, saving the Bruins from themselves. Their top... I don't know if they're top targets, but... Off-season targets include Ilya Kovalchuk and Rick Nash? What happened to get younger, faster, and financially flexible?
You got me. I mean, again, and the other thing is they also seem to be, you know, they're all these things they've got their hands in seem to be going against each other. In other words, Nash or Kovalchuk would be for Krejci, right?
Yeah, presumably. It feels that way.
Right, but Tavares would probably require you to get rid of Krejci. Or maybe get rid of Backes, right, instead. But even so, they seem like they're going in different directions.
To me, if you sign Tavares, your 1-2 at center is Tavares Bergeron. Krejci's not a third or fourth line center. He was his first couple years in the league. He's not that. He doesn't project that.
Right, so this is what I don't get. It's like, which direction are they going in? They feel like they're running in different directions. Now, look, I love the fact that they're even talking to Tavares. Like, again, you hear that kind of free agent, the Bruins involved, you go, what? The Bruins are going after a guy they're going to have to pay $11 or $12 million a year for 7 years? Since when? It's a lie. Right? Like that no, but I mean, that's your gut reaction, right? That instinctively you hear it and say, ah, they're just throwing that out there. That's garbage. I actually think there might be something to it. I think they recognize that they have a deficiency there. Like, you know, to me, they look at it and say, we get some good young talent. The problem is some of our veteran guys can't play in the playoffs anymore, and we got to clear those guys out and get guys in who can.
Okay, but to me, wrong guys.
No, I mean Tavares.
Yeah, Tavares, okay. I mean, Nash and Kovalchuk are, I don't know, aren't you just better off bringing up a kid from Providence and he ain't ready? Well, at least you have the flexibility to do something when a Tavares comes down the lot.
Yep.
I mean, so the whole reason you have to jump through hoops now or create room now is because Matt Bolesky's on your books and David Backes is on your books and you're still paying these guys. So stop signing those kind of guys. Rely on your system, which you're now good at, you've gotten results in, and maintain your flexibility, and when a Tavares comes, then you have the money. So would you stop with the Rick Nashes and the Ilya Kovalchuks and the Matt Bolesky's and the David Backes's? Would you please?
I don't want either one. I didn't want Nash in the very beginning. I can't tell you how disappointed I was in Nash. Like, you know, and every once in a while, who was I reading the other day? Was it DuPont who said, you know, Nash was promising when he came to Boston? I'm like, at the very beginning. But then after that
concussion, he was never the same.
Oh, my gosh.
Or he just reverted to what he was every single playoff run he's ever had.
And I'm just too scared of the history with him, and I don't mean the concussion history. The fact that every team that's ever had him gets disappointed. No, I don't want him. And I saw the money on Kovalchuk, and I almost crapped my pants when I saw that money. $6.5 million for 3 years? If it was 1 year at $6.5 million, I wouldn't do it. I'd look at you and go, that's stupid. You're paying him that? No way!
35 years old, hasn't been in North America to play hockey in 5 years.
Oh my gosh, what a stupid contract!
You've got to be kidding me!
Oh god, I saw that and when you have, like...
But between him and Nash, I was more for Kovalchuk, and he can snipe, and he could help in that second line, and it happened Saturday morning. I was about to make a case for it, and then that deal came down, I was like, oh my god, you got to be kidding me!
I mean, insane! $6.5 million for a guy who hasn't been here in 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
Sign me, like, where do I sign to be that guy?
I would have loved it when he flew the coop in December because he was bored playing in Boston because he's a flight risk.
Yeah, I could not believe that's one of the stupidest contracts I've ever seen.
617-779-0985. John in the car. Go ahead, John.
Oh, hey, thank you. Thank you guys for taking my call. Just a real quick comment. I don't, just kind of same thing Maz is commenting on. Like, I can't believe this is the Bruins actually going in on this guy. I don't remember the last time they actually went in on a guy who was like a stud, like in his prime, who was like an actual sure thing.
Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, exactly. Chara or like Savard, like back in the day, like that was over 10 years ago. It's just actually absolutely mind blowing. And, you know, it's exciting. Hopefully they can, hopefully they can do it because it's a sure thing. He really is.
Game changer. Game changer. Elite, game changing kind of player.
I mean,
he makes Bergeron your second center, you understand. Like, I mean, that's the kind of player we're talking about.
He's even good on the faceoff circle. I was looking it up. He's in his career, he's improved. He's, you know, he's 52-53%.
Dallas and San Jose.
Doesn't fit.
What are they doing on the list?
It doesn't fit.
Why is he talking to them? That scares me.
Yeah. So,
and is he just about every last dime? Because if he is, again, you're talking 7 years, 77. If he's about every last dime, he stays on the island because they can offer him eight. That's the rule in the NHL. As his existing team, they can offer eight. Everyone else can offer seven. Right now, the highest AAV is Connor McDavid at 12.5. The next players are Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and Carey Price, all tied at 10.5. And again, I just got to say, leave it to Peter Chiarelli. You know, to not just have the highest paid player in the game, which, okay, Connor McDavid probably deserves it. Like, he's the next big thing. I got you. But you generally go from 10.5 to then 11. Chiarelli goes from 10.5 to, yeah, take 12.5. Like, only he would go another 15, 20% when all you got to do is just beat the next highest.
It just doesn't screw it up for his team. He screws it up for the whole league.
Screws it up for everybody.
Oh, yeah, no, right.
He doesn't just take a steaming dump on his payroll. He takes a steaming dump on everyone's payroll.
Yeah, talk about just like, you know, crapping in the pool. Everybody's got to get out.
Unbelievable,
oh, God,
that guy.
Ruins a day for everyone.
Frank the Tank, what do you think of John Tavares?
Oh, he's awesome. Look, I think the year that he only played 59 games is when he got hurt in the Olympics, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe he hurt his knee in the Olympics and missed the rest of the season. Murray, you might want to check up on that, bud.
I'll get on it.
Look, this is the type of move that turns players into kings, okay, if you're Don Sweeney. This is the kind of move that can give the Bruins a window of 5 years if they make this move. The key thing here is what I think the Bruins are trying to do is they're trying to go strong up the middle once again. I think they want to keep Krejci in all this. If you could move him, great. But the two key guys to move here would be Backes and it would be Krug, where you could create some kind of a trade, get some flexibility going, and you can still give McAvoy his money. This is the kind of move, Mike, that you're talking, this moves the Bruins instantly into that team that's in that middle top of the pack to right there in the top five or six. This guy, you know, you talk about him creating his own offense and scoring goals. He's more of a Steve Yzerman than he is a Sidney Crosby. This is the kind of move that would instantly get the Coho standing up.
Yes, it would. The thing is with keeping Krejci, though, so you're talking between Tavares, Bergeron, or Krejci, one of those guys getting third-line minutes. And Krejci would be the one, except you want the third-liner to grind. You want speed down there. You want, you know, sort of all that other stuff. Krejci ain't doing that at this point. When Krejci's first year, when he was on the third line with, was it Krejci, Michael Ryder, and who else was on that wing, Jimmy? That was a great line. Like, that was a great spot for Krejci, and it made sense, and it was... He ain't that guy anymore. He needs power play time. He needs offensive zone time.
It wasn't Lucic, was it?
No, I don't think so. It was Krejci, Ryder, and someone. It was a really good line. But that was 8 years ago. 9 years ago now. Like, yeah. No.
Look, to me, he's got to go. To me, that's the easy swap. Krejci goes out. Tavares comes in. I told you, again, you watch it way more closely than I do. There was a highlight I saw of him last night against the Flyers. The puck was on the boards in the right wing corner, and somebody was hounding him. And he must have gone back and forth cycling in that corner about eight times before he finally got away from the freaking guy and then made a pass in front for a goal. I looked at that play and I went, I want that guy. I almost took my clothes off and started walking around the room.
Michael in Fort Lauderdale, what do you think?
Yeah, first of all, you want to talk about Chiarelli mistakes? How about his new contract with Lucic? Now, there's a good example of what a moron is.
Exactly.
Okay? I don't think that we have a chance of getting Mr. Tavares. I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to give him everything but the key to the city, and they're going to do everything possible. However, there's good news, because when they do that, they're going to let John Van Riemsdyk walk on July 1st.
He scares
me. He is a pure goal scorer, okay? And I would like to see John Van Riemsdyk on a Boston Bruin uniform with a line on David Krejci.
Okay,
I think it's, you don't get him.
Yeah, I think it's James Van Riemsdyk, but he was there, Rick Nash. Did you notice him in that series?
No. I mean, a little bit as it went on, I thought he got better, but I was disappointed in him at the beginning.
He's got the dog in him, too, now. He's a guy that just flat disappears from the face of the earth. He scares me. James Van Riemsdyk scares me.
I want a big fish, man. If I'm them, I go after Tavares. And like, you know, now look, Toronto's scary because they can do something stupid in terms of the money. There's a max, though. The max you can offer any player is 20% of the cap, which in the case of Tavares is $15.9 million.
So you could...
Toronto could offer him, like, and I was reading this earlier today, 1 year at 15.9. They could offer max money. The max you can do in the NHL, any one guy, is 20% of the cap.
If you have the room, obviously.
Correct.
And so they have the room to do that.
I think so.
They have $24 million under the cap, Toronto.
So they can go 1 year, 15.9, and then we'll redo this after the year.
Yep. I mean, that's crazy. Like, you talk about blowing the salary structure out of the water. Right, if the highest guy in the league's at 12.5, but it also tells you how close Chiarelli came to like hitting the max.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, if you just play it out, if the Bruins cleared the room, they could do the same thing.
Sure,
they would need to have 15.9 on the book.
Sure,
so anyone could really do that who has the room.
I just to me, like, to go after this kind of play. Oh God, if the Bruins got this kind of guy, you know what this would do for their business, season ticket sales, and everything else. Oh, it would be a great move for them, given all the young talent they have coming.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's a reentry Monday. Let's get to the Celts. Maz and I were both off on Friday, so it's a massive reentry. You get to all the things that happen even Thursday night. That includes the NBA draft. Who'd the Celtics pick?
Robert Williams.
I so don't
Texas
care.
Texas A&M, and you shouldn't care.
Should I care?
The only thing you should care about is that he was an hour late for his first press conference on Friday morning.
Only thing that interests me is that he blew off the conference call the next day.
And that should tell you why he slid in the draft. That's sort of the whole point. But, like, look, I'm disappointed they didn't trade up. I wanted them to trade up. I didn't expect them to because I just didn't think they had the artillery to get up there. But, that said... this is exactly the kind of guy they should take a shot on, given where they're picking. 27, 6'9". He's got like a 7'5 wingspan or something, right? I mean, he's an athletic big man who can run the floor, block shots and rebound, play above the rim, and he's got all types of like work ethic problems, attitude problems, motivational problems. Great! Awesome! It goes, flies in the face of every guy that they've picked basically in the last 5 years, though. Like Marcus Smart, play hard, good competitor. Terry Rozier, same. Brown Tatum, same, you know, along with upside to match. But they all are motivated, like driven, competitive guys. This guy feels like the exact opposite. Which, again, tells you that they know it. They have to be looking at this guy saying, we're picking 27th. This guy was supposed to be in the top 20. Supposed to be in the top 15. Right? So, you know what? Let's take a shot. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe Horford gets through to him. Maybe Brad Stevens gets through to him. Whatever, and we catch something here, and this guy can help us out 2 years down the road. Who the hell knows? But let's take a shot. I got no problem with the philosophy behind the pick. None. Do I think it's going to pan out? No.
I mean, I'm just disappointed they didn't. You know, I don't know. I just thought there is just this chance for some packaging. With, again, I'm big on selling high on Terry Rozier. I don't think you'll ever get the kind of value you would for him right now, or his value will never be higher. I wonder about what he's going to be next year, how they dole out those minutes. Something has to give. You're going to have to pay Marcus Smart. And so now you have, if Irving's healthy, which, you know, you obviously want him to be, between Irving, Rozier, and Smart, how do they handle all those? You know, so just like, I just think there's a chance there to sell high on Terry Rozier. And then you've got potentially four first-round picks next year. They're not going to, what are you going to do with the four first-round picks? You're going to have to stash a bunch of Euros again like they did a couple of years ago. That's just sort of a waste. So, like, take those picks, take Rozier, package it up, move up, and get someone that you could really, you know, do some damage with. That's what I was hoping for. And I guess they're just not enough. Just not enough to entice anybody.
I mean, that's the thing. To get a guy that they really, you know, my guess is they wanted to go for a big guy. They took a big guy, right? So you look at it and say they had the, this was the draft.
Okay, so let me ask you this now. So draft's done. Kawhi Leonard's still out there. Reports are the Spurs are going to re-sign him or trade him east. They're not trading him west. So it's either he's going back to San Antonio or he's coming here. Let's just say he's a pure rental. He's a pure rental. 1 year and then he's out. Would you give up Terry Rozier on there for 1 year of Kawhi Leonard?
I would. That's a low ask, Maz.
Not the Sacramento pick.
Like, do you now love next year's draft as much as you loved this one?
No, I just think that that pick has value. That's all. It has value. And so you're giving up too much. But I'll tell you, it's close. I mean, it's close. It's not. I don't sit there and look at it and say absolutely positively not.
I wouldn't. I would do it. And I don't need a commitment that he's going to sign here. Like, so I just said, 1 year rental. But he's got to tell me that he's going to play for the year. Like, if your quad hurts, Kawhi, are you going to give us an honest effort this year? And then you can go. Or, you know, I mean, give us a shot. You know, let us sit at the table and let us pitch you. And we'll try and sell you on Boston. But we have no expectations beyond this year. But give us the year. You know, put in an honest effort this year. That's what I would need. I would need to sit down with him, look him in the eye, or his crazy uncle, or whatever, you know, he's got going on. And get a commitment from them that we're at least going to get a year out of you. And then I would do it, because I think that's a championship. Or it's really, really close, isn't it?
I mean, you still have Brown, you still have Tatum, you're getting Hayward back, you still have Kyrie. Yes, yeah, you can win the championship with
that
team.
That's a team.
Oh, yeah, no, they could beat Golden State with that group, yeah. They could. Again, I just, you know.
I just don't believe in Terry Rozier, it's really a Sacramento pick. I'm sorry, you're right.
No. I just think it's, you know, to me, the Rozier part of it, see you later. Like, I'd do that in a second. But I just think that they could be in a spot where they could get something good. You know, like they have that, if that Sacramento pick is high, and I don't even mean the draft, you could trade that and get something good. And for multiple years. So that's a, you know, that's a potentially big piece. But go ahead, Murray. You want to mock me? Go.
Well, no, you're just always the responsible one, as you're always thinking of the future. I want it now. By the way,
if I'm the responsible one, we're all porked.
Have you heard the Robert Williams call when they finally did get him last Friday?
No, did he legitimately oversleep?
Yeah, or he got the time change all messed up because he's in Louisiana. They're on Central Time. They're an hour back. Which, in that case, I'll give him a pass because I've screwed this up before. I'm not bright. That's why I work in radio. But you should hear this. The quality of this, you're going to hate. He's not holding it like a pizza. But when you hear how he sounds a little bit hungover. Yeah, not a good look.
Robert, this is Jay King with The Athletic. I'm just wondering, what caused you to miss the initial conference call?
What caused me to miss what? I'm sorry.
The initial conference call earlier this morning.
Oh, the one earlier this morning? Actually, right after the draft, I actually just ran for my own call and went to sleep because I was so tired from everything.
So hold on,
hold on. Murray. I'll pause it.
Murray, this sound isn't a little sketchy?
Well, I have it translated here.
This sound is inaudible.
But you should. The beginning of it is what you needed to hear. What?
I heard him say after the draft I was up late, I was kind of
right dead. After the draft, I actually ran to my aunt's house and went to sleep because I was so tired from everything. Uh-huh. My sister woke me up. She said, you have a conference call. But really, the money is the beginning where he's asked by Jay King.
Robert, this is Jay King with The Athletic. I'm just wondering, what caused you to miss the initial conference call? What caused me to miss what? I'm sorry. The initial conference call earlier this morning.
Oh, the one earlier this morning?
Yeah, that one, Robert. Yep,
the one. Oh, I thought you meant the one Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Mr. Hand, you know.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hand.
I'm telling you, this guy, it feels like I would put the odds on him being a bust at 1-5. Like, I think the chances of him being a bust are huge.
What would you be willing to give Kawhi Leonard just for the rental? Just for the rental.
Terry Rozier and all the other picks.
But not Sacramento.
Mm-mm.
Maz, it's a championship. It's a championship.
Yeah, well, you're right. And ultimately, you don't. You know, you're not sacrificing anything, you know, really bad from the long term. So, again, I told you, I think it's a toughie. I just think you might be able to get a good piece with that chip. Like, something that you can keep for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. Like, and I don't even mean in the draft. Again, I think you might be able to trade for it. Like, I just think that that's something people are going to go, ooh. Because I don't think next year's draft is great. I don't, Murray. But some jackass will. And you know what? You'll be able to peddle that off to someone else and get a good player for it.
Red Sox, Hanley, Tavares, and the Bruins. Now this Celtic stuff. We're getting to Pats as well. With your calls, our long commercial-free segment is next. You can join us at 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
With the 27th pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Robert Williams III from Texas A&M University.
He's got good feet, he's a good athlete, he's got a 7'5 wingspan, and he plays way above the rim. And, you know, the ability to block shots, ability to alter shots, the quickness to catch up, to guard shooting if they get a step, being able to still alter that.
Boston has been looking for a young big man to start bringing in behind Al Horford. And one player on the board who is a lottery-level talent, Texas A&M's Robert Williams, almost came out after his freshman year last year and was projected at that time to be a top 7 or 8 player. Questions about his attitude, work ethic, have knocked him almost out of the first round here, but he is high on the Celtics draft board, and if they select him here, he could be a steal of this first round.
That was Adrian Wojnarowski, the last voice you heard there. Well, there's a Celtics draft pick. You can weigh in on the C's if you want and everything else we have on the table so far today on a reentry Monday. Kevin in Dorchester. Go ahead, Kevin. What do you got on Kyrie Irving?
I am so confused what the unreplaceable upside of Kyrie Irving is that his name never gets brought up in these trade talks. Nobody wants Terry Rozier in a first-round pick, Danny. They want a star player. You can move Kyrie, get a lot back. Then build up the war chest. You can make a better case to LeBron. The guy doesn't play defense. He doesn't elevate people over here. Like, what am I missing about what is so irreplaceable about Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, Kevin, he doesn't make people better. You don't think that watching him at the beginning of the season that he didn't make guys better?
I think he had flashes, but I also think he was going out of his way to pass the ball more because the whole narrative of him coming out of Cleveland was that he couldn't carry a team by himself. So, yeah, but I think when push comes to shove, when you're in playoff time, he's not a creator. You know, at his heart, he's a one-on-one guy.
He's a really good player, Kevin. But here's what I would look at. If he's not committed to you beyond the year, would you rather trade Kyrie Irving? Would you rather trade that Sacramento pick and Terry Rozier?
Well, if he's not coming back for a year, then I'll take a year of Kawhi over a year of Kyrie.
Me too.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, I told you, I lean Kyrie, but I understand that argument. I mean, to me...
And I've said this for a while. If Kyrie Irving is truly non-committal like he sounds... Then the trade for me is not Rozier on the Sacramento pick. It's Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I'll trade you my one-year rental for your one-year rental because I think I can do more with your one-year rental than mine.
Yeah, the Kyrie thing is scary. Look, again, if he walks next year and they get nothing for him, like, look out. Look out. Like, to me, that can't happen. Now, look, I'm hoping that they have this thing lined up the way they want it lined up. And I suppose there's every chance that in a worst-case scenario, you could move him at the trade deadline next year if you had to because you didn't think you were going to be able to re-sign him. But I don't want it to come to that. Like, if that's the case, they should have done it on draft night. And just not what are you going to do, trade your best player now at the trade deadline in the middle of the year when you're making a run for the number one seed in the conference? So I'm hoping this means that they think Kyrie is staying. If it doesn't, well, then they screwed this up royally.
Here's Paul in the car. Hi, Paul.
Hey, so I got a question for you. Do you send Kyrie for Anthony Davis?
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Do you try to get Anthony Davis without sending Kyrie, giving up Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and a couple first-round picks?
Okay.
Do you think they'll bite on that?
No.
I think that's what they're going to try to do. Like, to me, the idea for them is to put Hayward, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Tatum all together. And then, you know, whoever else you want to sprinkle in, Horford, what have you. That's ideally what they would love to do. That's my guess. And will it come to that? Like, can you get Anthony Davis? You know, if that Sacramento pick ends up number two, maybe. I mean, then it's worth something.
Now's not the time for Anthony Davis. It's not happening now.
It doesn't feel like it. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, I suppose they had too good a finish to the end of the year. Like, it doesn't feel like it. So, but I think that I think that's consistent with how they do things there. Like, leave the door open and give yourself enough artillery to make a trade when the next great player becomes available.
Danny and Stowe, how do you feel about the Celtics draft pick?
I didn't like it. I thought the Knicks got the better deal with the young kid at 18. I think he's 18 years old, Robinson. I think Stevens would have been perfect for him. I watched him in the McDonald League and stuff like that. There, that kid is an athlete, and they should have went for him.
Okay,
the other kid to me is a head case.
Sure sounds like it, Danny.
Does he ever?
Who you really want to talk to, though, was Adam Jones. He starts at 7 o'clock at 617-779-0985. He'll talk your face off. He'll talk the face right off your skull on the 17th versus the 27th pick in the draft. He'll talk to you about every stretch four in the whack, as I like to say, because he follows that crap. I can't help you with, was that good value at 27 versus 17? Who the hell knows? I think once you get out of the top 5 to 6, they all suck anyway. And you're not getting anybody. That's just sort of how, you know, do that on your own time.
I mean, once you get to that stage of the draft, like, I don't know, how do you call something a bad pick?
Right.
27th. I understand what they're trying to do. Take a shot. Take a shot. Maybe the kid actually wakes up one day and realizes he has talent. Actually, maybe he wakes up on time and realizes he has talent. Because he does. He feels like a colossal knucklehead. So you understand what it's easy to understand what they're doing when you look at it. Look at their history. Look at the profile of the player they have drafted here in the last number of years. Again, smart, competitive, right? Marcus Smart, competitive. Terry Rozier competes his ass off. Brown and Tatum, same thing, and the skill level and the talent level has gone up because they were taken higher in the draft than a guy like Rozier was. But the one thing all those guys have in common, they're not afraid. They compete, they're tough, all of that. This knucklehead can't wake up to make the phone call. Like, it's so, you know, and then you just read the scouting reports and it's, you know, lack of motivational issues. He doesn't work hard. You say, my God, this guy has all the talent in the world. He sounds like a bum. That's what it sounds like. So they hope that they get him in, and Stevens or someone can get through to him, and all of a sudden that they tap into something. Clearly, they're you know, they went for the long shot.
Chris in Rockland. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I think Kyrie is learning from LeBron. I know he hates him, but I think he's learning a little bit about him from his contract negotiations. One, I think Kyrie's got to prove himself from this surgery. And two, I think the Celtics really want to see if he can come back from all his injuries. He's so injury prone. So I think it's a two-way street here, that he wants to maximize his dollars to show him what he's got, and we'll see, you know, and let's even see if this kid can still play. Let's see what he's got as longevity.
So, Chris, I don't feel it's a two-way street. I feel if this were Kyrie's true free agent year, the Celtics would max out and pay him and bring him back. But he has to wait a year because he'll make $80 million more. So the not signing is totally understandable. He's not going to sign. The team understands that. That's not what makes Kyrie a flight risk. It's that he won't at least just verbally sort of play the game. I want to be I want to be a Celtic. I want to win championships here. This is where I want to be. He's not willing to do that thing, which is what should concern the Celtics. And is that reflective of how he really feels, or is he just sort of playing the game? I don't know, but I do think that for as much as he wanted to run from LeBron and not be with him anymore and shunned him, he's got a lot of the same qualities. I'm sorry. He is still an NBA diva, Maz.
I mean, he learned from the best. I think the caller's right. I think Kyrie said, oh, this is how you do it?
Right.
Like, what other experience has he been, you know, or what other experiences he had like that could shape his way of doing things? It's LeBron. That's it. LeBron uses his talent and leverages everybody else. And now, look, a lot of guys around the league are doing it now. But this guy was right under LeBron's wing. I don't know how you can't be alarmed by that. Like, he's sitting right next to LeBron. He says, wow, this guy gets everything he wants. People just cave to him because of his talent. Now he's doing the same thing. Like, so there's a reason there to be uneasy. They better keep this guy.
All right.
If they don't keep him and missed a chance to deal him, what a colossal mistake.
We've gone over a lot of stuff from the weekend. We continue to monitor the Hanley situation, and there feels like there's a little dribs and drabs of new small little details that we'll fill you in next hour as well. The Red Sox in general reclaiming a share of first place. The Bruins and John Tavares, that's a big story that we're following. They're going to get a sit-down with one of the biggest free agents to hit the market in a couple years anyway in the NHL. And the Bruins are apparently in on him. You want him? How far are you willing to go? Who would you give up to clear that money? All this Celtics stuff is on the table. And next, let's get to Tom Brady back on the practice field, just not with you. And Jules is going to fight his PED. He has actually had his appeal today. So we'll give you our thoughts on that right after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.